Welcome to the Day Luna Human Design Podcast,
where we discuss all things human design and how it can support you and your spiritual journey.
This is not a one-size-fits-all podcast. We are here to inspire awareness about how we are all different and help you answer the questions of who am I? What am I here to do? How am I here to do it?
You can thrive and live the life of your dreams just by having awareness of your true self.
So dive deep with us, get inspired, and start living your life on purpose.
Hello, and welcome back to the Day Luna Human Design Podcast with your host, Dana and Shayna. We wanted to record an episode today talking about some kind of deep spiritual stuff that we've been thinking about and talking about because, you know, the way that the world is right now, it just seems like it's like this never-ending train of things shifting and changing and growing. And I feel like I hear people say a lot, like, when is everything going to go back to normal? And I really feel it's not. We are changing so quickly. We are evolving. And a lot of the changes that have happened with COVID and things shutting down and people quitting their jobs. And it's part of this greater spectrum of change. And so we wanted to kind of talk about some ideas that we can really take with us to make this change and to navigate this change with love instead of fear, with empowerment instead of feeling like you're disempowered or being controlled by someone else. We want to talk about how we can become our own authority in understanding the way that the world works in this greater sense, and also having no judgment, but really acceptance of how other people are forming their own perspective and their own authority as they navigate this time.
Yes. And we are going to do a whole episode about the new paradigm, but this shift that we're going through is a lot. It's a lot to shift as a collective. And there's so many brilliant people in the world, and there's so much brilliance coming out through all of us as individuals that there's going to be even more information, even more things to be taking in and processing and shifting and crumbling. So having kind of this trust in yourself and I guess ability to understand yourself and the shifts that are happening with the lens of human design, we found is extremely helpful and extremely supportive with all of the chaos that's going on.
Yeah. And also, you know, just really knowing how to be your own authority in this life, really knowing how to confidently make new decisions and take on new things day by day in your own life. It feels so empowering. And of course, that's the journey that Shayna and I have been on since the day that we discovered human design. It's like, okay, great. How do I start really living as my true self, navigating life as my true self, and feeling really, really solid in who I am and what I'm doing? Not that I have the answers of like how things are going to unfold in the future, but knowing that every step along the way, I'm navigating this in alignment with my truth, in alignment with my destiny, with who I really am. So that really is, you know, the first step of human design is starting to have that practice yourself. And once you're in that aligned flow, I mean, it just feels so good. Like, honestly, as much as things have been crazy and shifting and the world is in this state of like so much unknown, I personally feel like it's been like the last 2 years have been two of the best years of my life. Like, hands down. Do you feel like that too?
Yeah. I mean, definitely that's not to say that it hasn't been challenging mm-hmm. and that it hasn't been confusing or anxiety inducing mm-hmm. at times. But yeah, I mean, it has been this expansion and this sense of stability within the unstable.
Yeah. Within the storm, you're like this within tree the storm. With these big roots, like reaching down, and you feel safe and confident in your ability to navigate anything as it comes and to navigate into the unknown with this feeling of certainty, not in what's going to happen, but in your ability to like steer that ship.
Yes, exactly.
So I just wanted to say that, you know, that's kind of the first place that human design brings you. And it feels so good to experience that. And then you have this opportunity now that you're really navigating in alignment and you know how to come back to that. You then are able to bring this whole new level of awareness and respect and acceptance to other people, them navigating their path, people who might think differently than you, people whose decisions about big topics might be really different than what you feel is right for you. And how do we hold space for other people and realize that they're on their own path, they're on their own journey, and that we want everyone to feel empowered to do what's right for them as an individual? And of course, we talk about this a lot. You know, this is one of the big shifts of this new paradigm, is this realm of individual power. And with each person getting to be their own unique being with their own unique viewpoint and perspective, all those different perspectives in the world create this collective harmony. So it's beautiful for us to have diversity in the way that we move and flow. It's really just working on yourself first and really knowing that you're aligned so that then you can give that acceptance and understanding or even compassion to other people who might be differently than you. And I just wanted to say that, you know, with being a human design reader and getting to meet so many different people who live in different places and have had different experiences, and to get a glimpse into how beautifully unique we all are and, you know, how different we might be designed to be and the different experiences that we have because of that design, it's just so beautiful to see. And honestly, it gives me a lot of trust in humanity. And I think that that's something that we can really feel a fear or scarcity around in times of change. It's like, can I trust other people? It comes back to that huge question of, like, in general, do you feel like the universe is a safe and loving place and a good place? Or do you feel like the universe is a dangerous place and a place that's unsafe or, like, you know, going against you? And getting to meet so many different people and being able to see them on this really soul level, like, this is your destiny. This is how you are designed to be. These are the highest expressions of your gifts. And here's the experiences that you've had because of that. It just brings so much depth into my world to be able to kind of get to witness all of the beautiful uniqueness that we are and how beautiful that diversity is. So, you know, being a human design reader and getting to share that acceptance and level of understanding with other people has just been so beautiful. And I know a lot of people who are listening to this podcast have been called to be human design readers too, and are already using human design in their life with their friends and family and giving people readings. And for everyone who nerds out with us every time on this podcast, we love you guys because we just speak the same language. But I know a lot of you guys are really wanting to become human design readers. And we want to share that with our first human design reader training, that's going to be a retreat in Costa Rica coming up soon this January, just in a couple of months. We have had some spots open up that have become recently available. So if there's anyone listening and you feel like you missed your shot wanting to come to the retreat, but you're still feeling it and your authority really guides you there, we wanted to share that we do have an opportunity for a handful of people to be able to join us there.
Yes. And the reason why is because of these shifts that are happening and navigating this unknown. You know, we recently were told that Costa Rica is requiring that everybody be vaccinated the day before we arrive to Costa Rica and a few days before the retreat actually starts. So obviously, that's not the news that we were hoping or anticipating was going to happen. But using our authority while navigating this unknown has been not stressful and has been completely that sense of stability that we were talking about before. So I just want to encourage you to use your authorities with all of the shifts and changes that are happening. And if you are feeling called to become a human design reader and train with us, this might be the divine timing and the shifts that the universe has been making space for you to go, or to wait for the online version and do it that way. Because the more human design readers there are, the better. The mm-hmm. more people on the planet that know what their design is and how to make decisions and can really experiment and see that how this information can truly support you during this this crumbling that we're going through and this expansion and this rising that we're going through. The more people, the better. And that's really our sole mission, is to spread this information as far and wide as we possibly can. And if you've been listening to this podcast for the last few years and you are nerding out on human design, I'm sure that your call and your authority is leading you to sharing human design and diving into it, applying it to your life, helping your friends and family to apply it to their life. So I just want to always say, so many people kind of, I think, talk themselves out of doing things because there's already people doing it and they're doing it really well. And who am I to teach this, or who am I to share this? And there's billions of people on the planet. There is space for you, whether that's in human design, but also whether that's in music or whether that's in art or whether that's in writing a book or teaching a different topic, creating a program or a business, there is space for you. So if you ever are feeling that calling, not even with this or with human design, but in general, I just want to say there is space for you to be an individual and own your passions and listen to your authority with creating that thing or pursuing that thing or learning that thing. It doesn't have to be only, you know, the top people in the field can now monopolize that thing. That is not what we are moving into in this new paradigm. This new paradigm is all about the individual rising and becoming their own authority and creating the things that their body and their energy is here to create, and creating things that envelop that passion. So all the monopolies are going out the window. All the things that are based on greed and power and control and being an authority over other people, those are all going out the window. So we're going to get into that in our new paradigm episode, which is going to be packed with information. But I just wanted to plant that seed. If you are thinking, me, who am I to do this? Use your authority. And if you're not sure exactly how to, go back and listen to our authority episodes and our strategy episodes and our type episodes. There's so many resources out there to help you to really own who you are, get to know your energy, and live your life empowered during this time of the unknown.
Yeah, it is literally my favorite thing on planet Earth to do, to teach someone how to use their authority. Because, you know, in the past, when people would come to you for advice, like, what should I do? You want to be helpful and you want to be supportive of your friends, but it's like, you have to live your own path. You have to live your own life. And I can tell you what I think would work, but it's important for you to navigate it. So now that I can just tell people, here's your authority. Like, I have a friend that came to me and is like, should I break up with my partner? I'm like, here's how you use your authority. That is what I will share with you. And it just feels so good and so liberating, because you are spreading that wisdom and empowering that person to become their own guide in their own life. It feels incredible. I just wanted to say that side note because I got fired up about that.
I agree.
But okay, so today what we wanted to talk about in this episode is this idea of living in assimilation, because I feel like I've seen this online a lot, and I'm sure a lot of you have too, seeing like funny spiritual memes that's like, being out of the matrix, or like, are we living in, you know, the simulation where everything is like a computer game? And we wanted to dive into this topic because human design has a lot of really powerful insight that it shares around this world being an illusion and reality really being not exactly what we see or what we seem to think reality is, but there's this kind of higher truth. And we love this topic so much, talking about kind of the more energetic and subtle realms and not just the physical. But I was kind of reading online and looking at different websites and stuff about this question of like, are we living in a simulation? And I was on the website of Scientific American, and Elon Musk was talking about how statistically it's like a 50-50% chance that we're living in this like coded simulation computer program. And since he said that, all of these scientists started doing research about it and started like looking at the statistics of like, okay, if this world actually was a simulation and we were living inside this like computer program, then how fast would the processor have to be in order to catch up with the speed of light? And like, where does consciousness come from and what's it for? And the conclusion of this article that I was reading was saying that, yes, they really do think that it's possible that our bodies are being, you know, this avatar for some other source that's experiencing life through us, and that we're basically just video game characters like in Grand Theft Auto, and that everything is, you know, not what we thought it was. And this article was really framing it in like, isn't that scary? Isn't that like a terrifying concept that we're living in this video game and that we're not really real the way that we think we are? And I just thought it was so interesting to read this scientific article of someone who's not really connected with the fact that, of course, life is an illusion. Of course, life is not real in the way that we think it is. But why is that scary to people? Why does that trigger this like fear response in others?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, in this article, how it says that as characters in Grand Theft Auto, our product, us, is most likely here for the benefit of someone experiencing our lives through us. And that, I think, is really where people feel fear, is that we are just as insignificant as an avatar on a video game, and somebody is just enjoying our downfalls and our challenges, and this life that is so important to us is so frivolous to somebody else. And I think that is where this fear around not having control of our lives and not having meaning and feeling powerless, feeling like there's nothing we can do and life is meaningless. So it's so interesting because I think people, especially like Elon Musk, have a very, I don't even know what the right word is, but a statistical, matter of fact, pragmatic way of looking at the world and looking at these insanely genius, out of the box concepts, but it communicating it in a way that is very mechanical, if that makes sense.
And I think that the whole idea of it being this artificial computer kind of that coldness is something that I think can trigger fear in people, because in my personal experience, in my personal belief, we live in a profoundly loving universe, and the source energy, the source consciousness that we all share is profoundly loving, and people feel that and want to be loved. You know, we all kind of crave that experience of really being loved and being held and being significant in some way. So thinking that we are run by this like computer cold artificial thing, and that there's this lack of love or a lack of compassion, I think that is really the source of all fear, is a disconnect from love. And, you know, another term that I see people talking about all the time is the Matrix. And of course, like there's the movie, The Matrix, which is such an amazing movie. I go back and watch it like at least once a year. But with this idea of the Matrix, you know, in the movie, it's like they're living in this computer generated artificial reality that's completely coded. And it really is leaning on that technology, that computer side of it. But when I think about people living in the Matrix, I put in quotes, and then they rise above it, I think of, you know, this more metaphorical sense that all of us within our conditioning are programmed just the same way that in a computer program, you can program something. We are programmed with these thoughts and beliefs and ideas about what is true in this world. And a lot of it is social programming about our gender roles and the beliefs that we have around money and work, our beliefs that we have around life and death and religion, and the way that the world works in general. You know, there's programming that has been in this human world that when you're born, you're inherently sinful and that you have to prove that you're good, you know, through your actions, or the belief that we live in a win-lose universe and that in order to thrive, you have to compete and, you know, put someone else down. All of these ideas and concepts and social constructs are what we call in human design terms our conditioning, the social conditioning, but we are kind of programmed to see the world through that lens. And, you know, from our perspective, or, you know, in my personal perspective, it's like when you're born into this lifetime, you don't really have any of that societal, you know, this kind of human world in 2021. You don't have any of that programming. You're just this like fresh, like spirit beam that's come into this human world. And you're still so connected with other realms and like your past lives and the greater energy flow of life and of the universe. And as you're born into this reality, you start to be taught, these are the constructs that shape our reality. And you're taught this program, and it programs into your physical brain and your physical body. And that becomes what you believe as truth or as this reality.
Yeah, I definitely also see it as, you know, kind of the episode we talked about, 3D, 4D, 5D, of this 3D consciousness and really being tapped into what is everyone else thinking? What is everybody else thinking I should do? What's going on this physical plane, and being really tapped into that collective consciousness fear side of things. And that being the matrix of when you are tapped in or plugged into that more collective side, you are in that matrix of shoulds and conditioning and pressure and not self. And then getting out of that matrix and tapping more into your own energy, your own authority, your own personal power, and also having more of a love-based perspective, consciousness, energy is kind of shifting out of that matrix. Of course, the movie, The Matrix, is so great in that it gives you such a physical, hard example of, you know, you're physically tapped into this coded world and you're living this avatar, but really your body is in this, you know, cocoon egg and like this giant machine. And when you think about that, it just offers a very black and white way of understanding this concept. And then when you think about Elon Musk talking about, are we living in this simulation and everything's a video game and it's a 50-50% chance, it really is this, you know, we're experiencing everything through our own lens, through our own consciousness, and who's to say what's real and who's to say what's not. And that concept, that consciousness, when you look at things in that way, it can be this feeling of, okay, well, how do I know more? How do I have the answer? How do I unplug from that matrix video game simulation? Or does anything even matter? Does anything, you know, if nothing's real, if I'm not real, what's the point of anything? And that really is tapping back into that very physical side of things have to be real to matter. Mm-hmm. And things have to be physically real to matter. I have to be doing what I should be doing or what the collective thinks is important. Those things that I've been conditioned to believe are important, like religion and gender roles and how I fit into society, if those aren't important, then what's the point of anything? And that's really where that fear side comes in. So it's interesting because these themes, they're all connected in a certain way, but not in such a black and white, like, you're plugged into a video game way mm-hmm. that people are really talking about.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to think of something in a act, like it's actually real versus taking the metaphorical sense and seeing how it's so much more about like the energy of that being true instead of it being like, actually you're living in a video game. But I mean, it's really interesting to see, like in my own experience, seeing my conditioning and seeing the programming that I've had, there's been so many layers and layers upon layers. I always surprise myself when I uncover a new layer of conditioning because you think that you've uncovered a lot. And then you get down the road and you're like, wow, maybe the way that I'm looking at this is completely my conditioning and completely what I've been programmed. And that even can be scary because you think that it's an idea, a worldview that you formed, and that is your opinion or perspective, and that it's something that you really believe or resonate. And when you realize like, oh, do I actually think that that's true? Is that actually coming from me? Or is it just my programming and my conditioning? It's that feeling of us feeling safe in things that are real and concrete and solid, that floor falls out of under you. Because it's like, oh, everything that I knew to be true, everything that I defined my world around, I'm realizing now never actually came from me and was just programming that I've been conditioned to believe in. And so, I just wanted to say that it's interesting to connect with small kids, like my friends who have really young kids. When they're like 2 or 3, you can kind of like ask them questions about where did you come before this? And like my friend's son used to say, oh, I lived, you know, in this field where there's all of these children and it was so beautiful and warm. You could play and you could do anything. And then like, we decided to come and live as a human. And this is when he was like 2 or 3. And then as he turned 4, we would ask him like, where did you come from before this? And he's like, my bedroom. And we're like, yeah, but you know, before that, remember how you told us about the field with all the children? He's like, you guys are weird. What are you talking about? And the more that he would learn this reality, how things work, what the social cues are, really wanting to observe people and learn about how people interact and exchange, the less and less he was interested in talking about or remembering these kind of dreamy, ethereal, more spiritual things that we would talk about when he was younger.
Yeah, it's interesting how kids have this innocence in that they don't have any filters mm-hmm. on what should be remembered or what shouldn't. And that innocence of just it could be taken as creativity. It could be taken as imagination. I know that that's always what we've been taught and what science really teaches is that children are really imaginative. Mm-hmm. And then as they get older, that imagination gets less and less. Or it could be taken as them remembering other realms or other past lives or, you know, not having so much of the programming of what should be seen or believed or tapped into. And so it really, that frequency changes from being so open and receptive and connected to tapping into that collective programming consciousness, mm-hmm. Which is just freaking crazy because we're not here to say that any of this is the reality or is true. It's just an observation of what could be true because, you know, everything's nothing and nothing is everything. And we are individuals, yet we're all connected and all everything is everything, right? So it's just crazy because I love looking at all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And I recently watched a documentary, I can't remember what it was, or maybe it was a TV show, where it was kids remembering
I was just their past lives. Was it called Surviving Death, I think, on Netflix?
Yeah, something. I don't know. It was actually not that recently, maybe like a year or two ago. Yeah. But where kids were remembering their past mm-hmm. lives, and it's freaking fascinating.
It was so so there was like the one kid, I feel like this is like the most famous story, that he was like 3 maybe, and he would tell his parents, he would start waking up in the middle of the night having these bad dreams, and he would tell his parents like, I died in a plane crash and there was fire. Yes. And I couldn't get out. And he, piece by piece, he ended up telling them, this is the type of plane that I was driving. I was a pilot. It was in World War II. This is the name of the ship that my plane came off of. And his parents started Googling these things and piecing together the stories. And he even told them, my best friend's name was this name, first and last name. And the parents of that kid were super supportive. And instead of it being like, oh, you're just making this stuff up, or oh, you're just lying, they listened to him and they like wrote down the things that he was saying and got curious about it and believed in him. And it ended up being this like incredible story where they took him back to the place where he passed away in that past life, like the place where he died in a plane crash. And he had this huge release. I think he was like 7 years old. He just burst into tears. Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
It was like so emotional for him to return. And he had so much kind of like karmic healing from his parents listening to him and not being like, you're just making this up or this is just crazy imagination. But they really were like, why is my child saying this? Let me take stock in it. Whereas there were other stories where the kid was remembering a past life and the parents were really didn't believe in past lives, or like they thought that they're like one of the parents would believe in their kids and the other parent wouldn't. And there was kind of like this weird energy around not feeling comfortable enough to even give their kid credit for what the things that they were sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting just because I feel like this is such a side tangent, but it's, we're not trying to say that you have to believe in past lives and ask your kids what they connect with, although you totally could. But it's just interesting to see how children are so tapped in to things that the collect, because they're not programmed yet. And starting to really come back to that of, okay, what is programming, what is conditioning, and observing that and seeing that in others, especially the easiest places with children, is allows your consciousness to expand and to step out just a little bit more from that programming mm-hmm. and from that collective conditioning. Because your mind, I read this recently, which it's really stuck with me. Your brain is constantly looking for proof to prove whatever it is that you're thinking, whatever mm-hmm. it is that you're observing. So if you're constantly thinking, I suck or I'm not good enough, your brain is always looking for proof of that. And it's going to find it. It's going to find, mm-hmm. you know, things will happen and you'll fail or you'll be rejected. And your brain is looking for that proof to find. And it kind of creates that because it's searching for that energy. Same thing if you're looking for ways to raise your consciousness or to step out of your conditioning, your brain is going to find that and it's going to validate it and prove you right. So when you start observing things like children, your brain is going to start expanding even more and you're going to start proving to yourself ways that you can step out of your conditioning and the things that are holding you back. So this can obviously be applied to anything, any topic you're thinking of, like programming, like simulation, like fear or conditioning, but also to manifesting or to, you know, having the life that you want or happiness. If you start saying, okay, what is my brain trying to prove? What do I want to prove and be my reality? Really start paying attention to and saying and shifting your brain, your focus onto those things.
Yeah. So, and, you know, in general, asking yourself, what are my beliefs? And which of them are limiting me? And where do those beliefs come from? And I know that we talk about this a lot on this podcast, but getting comfortable enough to go deeper into what have I been conditioned to believe? What is my programming? What are the things that were the places where I'm living in this matrix and like limited by my ideals? And the more that you're comfortable in navigating your life as your authority, knowing who you are, knowing what your gifts are, really flowing in that zone, you have this kind of like security, this confidence within you where you feel more open to go even deeper and to look even deeper into those layers of conditioning and programming in all of the ways that it might be limiting you. And, you know, that's another big theme that I want to talk about with conditioning and programming is always asking yourself the question of, does this feel like it is limiting me or do I feel like this is expanding me? And, you know, I think when we hear people talking about like living in the matrix or rising above it, breaking out of it, really what people are wanting to say, the essence of what they're talking about is finding this place where we are expansive, where we are connected to our limitlessness. And that being limitless feels so free and open and light. Like in my own body, the last week or so, that word has come into our lives so many times. Like, I feel like four people in a row that we did readings with all said like limitless and like someone had it tattooed on them. And that word has been coming back to me of really feeling when we talk about all of these just like random, you know, different philosophic spiritual concepts in your body, does it feel expansive and limitless or does it feel confining and like it's weighing you down or forcing you into a position where you feel smaller than who you really are? That's always a really good way to navigate things and to check in with, does this resonate for me? And does it bring me closer to love? Or is this putting me in this kind of like limited fear box or zone?
Yes. And I think a good question is this helpful? That's always how we kind of approach our human design readings, but also everything in our life is this information actually helpful to this person or to myself, to going more towards expanding and limitlessness and raising your consciousness, stepping out of your conditioning, out of your fear? Is it actually helpful or is it not? Is it just more information? And so I want to talk about, what does human design say about simulations or illusions, if you will?
Yeah. And I wanted to say that, you know, I want to share some stuff that's from the definitive book of human design, The Science of Differentiation, which is by Ra Aruhu and Linda Bunnell. And one of the first chapters in this book where it talks about the origin of the universe and how consciousness and energy travels through the universe and animates different life forms, and talking about the neutrino stream. Like, this whole chapter of the book was, when I read it for the first time, every cell in my body was like coming to light and like giving me all these pings and goosebumps and downloads. And I just felt like, holy shit, this is the most powerful, interesting thing I've ever read in my entire life. It just resonated so deeply with me. So we always want to share that none of the stuff that we're saying we think is true or false or the only truth. I'm just saying it's the most interesting thing that I've ever read. And if you don't have this book, we definitely recommend checking it out and reading that first chapter.
Yeah, for sure.
But basically what human design talks about as far as us living in this illusion, right? You know, we all seem to be these individual humans and we identify ourselves with our body and we think that our mind is like only in our brain. And we just see the world as this, you know, we're taught to see this world in this very 3D realm where everything feels separate and, you know, we're not really seeing any of the energetics behind how our energy body works. And when we're talking about your energy type in human design, we're actually talking about your aura or your energetic body. So you being a projector or a generator, we're talking about this energy that extends past your physical form and interacts on an energetic level with other people and exchanges energy, communicates energy, all in this invisible realm that you're not seeing with your eyes or hearing with your ears, right? So really human design is in its essence teaching us how there are other things at play besides what we are seeing. And here's how your energy works. Here's how your energy operates. And also here's how you get your human form. Here's how you get this body with these genetics, with these certain gifts and these different talents and a brain that works like this and a digestion that functions like that. You know, all of these puzzle pieces that create your uniqueness, it kind of is like picking a video game character before you come into this life. Like, I want to be a person who has these genetics. And so I'm going to be chose to be born on this day so that the neutrino stream can come in and give me these different characteristics. So all of this experience that we have of this human experience in this physical realm, it really all is this beautiful, wonderful, amazing illusion where we get to experience these things as reality. And human design kind of tells you the foundation of how that actually works and how those puzzle pieces are held together and where they come from, which I always thought was so interesting because before, you know, I really had what I would call my spiritual awakening, I always thought astrology was interesting. But I always had this question, like, how does it work then? Why? Why does it work? Like, why do we get this energy from different planets and from the stars? And how does it affect us? And how do we know it's real? And how is the energy transferred? I had all of these questions. And human design really was this first puzzle piece unlocking my own remembrance of how that stuff really plays out. So within this, you know, chapter in human design, we'll kind of paraphrase here what it shares about, but it talks about the beginning of the universe with the Big Bang. And the Big Bang happens, and there's this yin egg and a yang seed. So this yin and yang energy that makes up all of the hexagrams and how the hexagrams come into our DNA. So there's this yin egg and the yang seed, and they come together and create the conception of our universe. And we've been expanding ever since that first conception. And Ra channeled all of this information from the voice. And the voice told him that this conception of the universe with this Big Bang is not actually the birth of the universe, but is actually just the conception. So our whole universe is this one living entity that has been expanding since that point. And in that conception of the universe, there's this shattering where all of these crystals of consciousness that each contain a consciousness of the original yin and yang orientation, all of these crystals of consciousness extend out and embed in every existing thing in the universe. So these crystals of consciousness are actually a huge part of human design in the foundation of how these things work. And it's like the very, very smallest aspect that consciousness comes through. But in a human being, in one of us, we have these, you know, crystals of consciousness, our personality crystal and our design crystal. So our personality crystal has this original yang seed energy, and our personality crystal sits on the top of our head center. It's actually outside of our physical head, above our scalp. And in this crystal is the energy of who we think we are and the personality that we identify with in this more kind of masculine yang energy. And then we also have our design crystal, which is located in our third eye, in our ajna. And this design crystal has more of the aspects of the original yin energy, so this more female, receptive. And this design crystal is not the personality that we identify with, but is instead the vehicle, the biogenetics of our body and our physical form. So each of us has these two crystals of consciousness that have this information, if you will, about our personality and the attributes that we're here to really experience and identify with, our avatar characteristics, if you will, you know, the different gifts that we have. And then we also have our design crystal. This is our physical body, our physical form, the way that your, you know, digestion is going to work, the way that your the genes that you're going to inherit that are going to make up this physical form. And then we have our magnetic monopole, which is resides in our sternum, in our G center. And this is the magnet that holds it all together. So we have all of these different information facets in these crystals. And then we have this magnet that's holding them together as one person. And as this, you know, physical solid being in time and space, all of that is being held together so that you are here in this moment perceiving all of this stuff as one truth because of this magnetic monopole. So that magnetic monopole that's located in your G center, it is the thing that helps us be in this physical realm in this time and space, experiencing this illusion of separateness, experiencing this illusion of the physical realm, of the 3D realm, experiencing this illusion of our human experience, because of course that, you know, it's our belief that that human experience that we're all having, it's not the highest truth. It's what you're here to experience right now, but it's not who you are in essence. You are this universal, infinite consciousness, this spiritual being that's living in this human illusion, in this physical illusion realm, because of all of these really super fascinating, beautiful dynamics and the magnetic monopole that holds it all together.
Yeah. So this magnetic monopole, it's what keeps us in this time and space, and it guides us along our destiny path, our unique geometry in life. So all life forms have this magnetic monopole, and it's what makes us feel real and have that direction in life. So since we're in this illusion of separateness, there is this other side of it of, okay, it's an illusion, and everything is connected, and we're all from the same source. We all have these same design personality crystals and consciousness crystals. So it's really understanding, okay, yes, we are all connected. Yes, we are all everything. And also, yes, everything's an illusion, but I'm here to go on my unique geometry in life. And that can be incredibly liberating, but also the flip side of that coin is incredibly feeling disempowered or disconnected. But of course, human design is here to say, okay, this is how you feel empowered with this information.
Yeah. So kind of circling back to people sharing online things that we've been reading about, like, are we living in this simulation? And that feeling scary because you feel like you're being controlled by some source or some person outside of yourself or some computer outside of yourself. But through this lens, it's like you are both that creator, that source energy, the universe that is living through you and experiencing your body, this human form as an avatar, where it gets to experience this unique geometry, this unique path of living life, and gets to learn all those lessons and feel all those feelings and discover all of those possibilities in that realm. You are both the avatar, you know, Dana living in this human body, moving through life, and you are also the universe, that source energy that has created this experience, this human experience to feel and to see what's possible through life. So in this realm, I think it feels really freeing because it's like, yeah, we're living this illusion and it's all just for fun. Like, it's all just to learn, to explore. That doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. It means that we came here to live and to be an experience. And what's behind the illusion is also you. It's also consciousness and love. And like from this realm, I think it feels like the most safe and supportive and kind of like cozy energy, where it's like, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to, you know, not make mistakes. It's like, you're just here to experience this illusion. And the more that you can let yourself experience it and navigate it and see what you can go for in this lifetime and trust yourself and trust the unfolding of your gifts and who you are, the more deeply you get to live.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, the, how we have pressure, from this programming or from this matrix or this simulation to be perfect or to be right or to know what the future is going to hold or know about life and death. The same way that we have that pressure, if we can step out of that and step out of that matrix, step out of that conditioning, we can really free ourselves to start enjoying our experience more and really tapping into, you know, yes, I am the created, but we are all the creator. Mm-hmm. And I am the created. I am the creator. Tapping into that we all are, that I feel is incredibly liberating. And knowing that, you know, all the things that seem to be real in this world is in relation to our physical senses. And we're here to have that, even if that is just an illusion. And even if we are just suspended in this illusion by our magnetic monopole, that still is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that's where I am. What is this showing me? How can I be free to just be in this experience and explore in this experience in a way that I am empowered? And the only thing I need to focus on is liberating myself, mm-hmm. using my own authority, becoming my own authority, and releasing the conditioning in all the different aspects or energies in my life that tell me that I can't be my own authority.
Yeah. And it kind of circles back around to what we were talking about in the beginning of like having these dreams, these callings in this lifetime, you know, for example, like for us wanting to create our own business, wanting to become human design readers. And you can have this feeling like, well, what if I fail? Well, what if I can't do it? And all of my programming and conditioning is teaching me to be really afraid of that, is teaching me that, you know, I have to live in these confines and like, who am I to think that the world is going to need me? There's too many people, the market's saturated, like all of these fears and doubts. We stop ourselves before we even try it because of that. But I think that it can be really helpful to zoom out a bit and just for a minute kind of hold this, entertain this idea of like, okay, if we're living in this illusion and I have this like amazing avatar that my soul chose before I came into this lifetime with all of these gifts, I have everything that I need to live those dreams and to be successful. And this is all an illusion anyways, you know, kind of a dream, if you will, let me go for it. Like, let me just really push past that fear, trust in my authority, and see what I can do in this lifetime. And without that pressure, without that needing to be perfect or needing to prove yourself to the world, but instead just from this playful, open, expansive kind of soul space of like, why not? I saw this meme once that there's like a little person crying, like, none of this shit matters. And they're just like crying. And then they're the same thing, like, none of this shit matters. And they're celebrating. And it's like, that means that I can play and explore and not have to worry about what repercussions are going to come from that, but instead just really trust myself as I move through this life. So we just wanted to share all of these random thoughts and concepts with you guys, because we know if we're thinking about it and talking about it without recording it, we know that you guys are talking about it too. So we wanted to share our perspective and to share that awesome human design perspective so that you can see, how does that feel in your body? You know, checking back in with, does that make you feel more expansive and free and full of love and safety in a time that feels so unknown and scary and fearful? And all of our conditioning is, you know, our programming is really telling us to be afraid of this unknown, to be afraid of this change, to be afraid of this crumbling. But I think when you can find this more expansive viewpoint and see it all as just this like amazing, beautiful, intricate, sacred game that we're all here to play, I think it feels really expansive for me. So that's always why we want to share things with you, is things that have just empowered us or felt really expansive in our own bodies.
Yeah. And I want to encourage you after listening to this to go stick your feet on the earth and put your feet in the grass or in the dirt or wherever the earth is, where you are in the sand, and to just breathe, ground yourself into your physical form, even if it is just an illusion, and just feel that sacred connection that you have to the physical, but also to your unique geometric path that you're here to play or be in this life, and feel that connection to your empowerment around living that path, exploring that path, playing in that path while being in this physical realm, because the balance there, the polarity is really how you move forward in alignment versus in anxiety or in super physical world or in confusion or in not wanting to face the confusion because it's just too fucking confusing, right? So having the balance between I move forward in this physical realm with awareness of and connection to the unknown and my own empowerment with moving forward and playing towards love, towards expansion, towards growth, towards discovery. So the world is your freaking oyster. Mm-hmm. And to me, it almost makes it feel more important.
Yeah.
It matters more. Yeah. You have more purpose. So hopefully this conversation was expansive for you, because it was for us, for me, at least I should say. And yeah, we just love that you guys are on this soul journey with us.
Yeah, our dive in bitches, as always. And yeah, you know, I just wanted to say, like, you remember in the end of Harry Potter when he like, when Voldemort dies and then they go to the King Cross station, and then he's like, Harry Potter's like, Dumbledore, is this real or is it just in my head? And he's like, of course it's in your head, but why should that mean it's not real? You know that part?
I'm not a huge Harry Potter nerd, surprisingly, but you are, surprisingly.
I know. It is kind of surprising, but that is my shit.
It is. But that is a great quote.
It's like, this is an illusion, an incredible, sacred illusion that is full of love and full of joy and full of so much pleasure and also so much pain that helps you grow and learn and experience. And your soul craves that. And you as the universe, or as that one universal life source, also craves to have this full experience and to live in your body. I feel like so much of human design is really helping you bridge those realms of here is this like kind of spiritual truth. Here's my human form, this human path, this illusion of individuality or separateness. How do I bridge that? How do I allow both of those things to be true? How do I navigate both of those with this level of wholeness instead of feeling like they're two separate things? Like, even that illusion is real. You're here experiencing it right now. So appreciating it and enjoying it and connecting with it, just so important.
That quote really got me, because it's like, why does that mean it's not real?
Exactly.
And it's just crazy because we're in such an age of information and of movies. And I know we've talked about this before, but when you're watching a movie or a TV show, you kind of are experiencing that avatar of that character or that storyline. And it is real because you're learning through that experience, through your own perspective, watching that character or movie learn their lessons and have that, you know, their trials and successes. And that is real, even though you're watching something that's fake. And it's kind of all the same concept of connecting to something that is an illusion, but getting real
feelings,
knowledge,
yeah,
real experiences out of it. So,
and that emotional realm of feeling when you're watching a movie and you feel for this person, or you feel what they're feeling, you experience it through those feelings and through those emotions, that emotional realm and being able to feel for each other and learn through each other and learn through different experiences, whether it's our own, whether it's some movie we're watching and like temporarily letting that character be our avatar for that experience, allowing ourselves to feel those things, feeling things is what helps us grow and evolve and move closer into this kind of spiritual realm or into this spiritual growth. And that's something that we're all being called to do in general as a collective, is to feel more, to feel the every full spectrum of our own personal journey, and then to be able to bring that compassion and empathy or sympathy or whatever it is within your design, to be able to feel and hold space for other people and even learn from other people. Like, as long as you're feeling something, it's important, it's real, it's meaningful, it's something that's helping your soul grow.
Yeah, you're already doing it.
You're already doing it.
That is the card I pulled this week. And it's true. It's, you know, as long as you're feeling something, you're already doing it.
You're living.
You're already, yeah.
You're alive.
You might be tapped into the matrix or the simulation or the collective conditioning. Once you start having awareness of what are my feelings, what are the things that my conditioning are, the things that I'm tapping into, like, you're already doing it. So I guess hopefully that can feel like you don't have to try so hard to live your uniqueness or to go along your unique path, your direction in life. You don't have to try so hard, but having awareness of it kind of does pull you out of feeling stuck or trapped or fearful in any way. So this was a weird conversation, but I'm into it. You guys always know where to find us at DayLuna on Instagram or our website, daylunalife.com. If you want to connect with anything, that's also where you can find out more information about our human design training if you're interested in joining us. But use your authority, please, because that is the most important thing. Is there anything else, Sina?
Nope. I just wanted to say I love you all. Thanks for being here with us. Thanks for going down the rabbit hole with us today. And we're sending you so much love.